Welcome back to another episode of Popcorn and Podcasting.
Another road trip episode.
Yep. We ride in our car a lot. Long distances.
Yep.
And that's because we live far away from everything, and we like it.
The munchkins have been quite noisy so far, so they
expect to hear them in the background, singing and crying and all kinds of stuff.
Just a touch. Yep. We're going to do something. We're going to read just a sample of a talk today and talk about it. In fact, it's
quite interesting.
Yeah.
It's a parable from Boyd K. Packer's talk for Time and All Eternity from conference in October 93.
In fact, you might want to go and look at that talk.
Yeah, we'll put a link in our show notes.
Yeah, because I think a lot of what happens in the parable that we're going to read, a lot of what it's talking about is somewhat explained in it, but he doesn't say whether or not it's explained. We just have to kind of assume that.
Reading the talk will help figure out what the parable means.
Yeah, it's probably the best commentary there is for the parable.
That makes sense.
It's a really good parable.
Yeah.
And it's given right at the end of the
talk. I remember I read this in our preparing for marriage class with Brother Ayers.
Yeah.
I was reading back in my journal a while back, and I wrote an entry about how we read it. Just a summary of the parable, and right after that, I was like, I don't get it, but I'll work on it.
Yeah, and I get the impression that it's one of those kinds of things that we're not intended to fully necessarily understand the first time we read it or listen to it, but it's something that we're to think about and ponder and pray and just, you know, see how to apply it. Anyway.
Okay, so on with the parable. Elder Packer, or President Packer, I guess, calls it the parable of the treasure. Oh, hold on. I gotta remember not to do that. Now I can't find the mouse. There it is. Okay. Once a man received as his inheritance two keys. The first key, he was told, would open a vault which he must protect at all cost. The second key was to a safe within the vault which contained a priceless treasure. He was to open this safe and freely use the precious things which were stored therein. He was warned that many would seek to rob him of his inheritance. He was promised that if he used the treasure worthily, it would be replenished and never be diminished, not in all eternity. He would be tested. If he used it to benefit others, his own blessings and joy would increase. The man went alone to the vault. His first key opened the door. He tried to unlock the treasure with the other key, but he could not, for there were two locks on the safe. His key alone would not open it. No matter how hard he tried, he could not open it. He was puzzled. He had been given the keys. He knew the treasure was rightfully his. He had obeyed instructions, but he could not open the safe. In due time, there came a woman into the vault. She too held a key. It was noticeably different from the key he held. Her key fit the other lock. It humbled him to learn that he could not obtain his rightful inheritance without her. They made a covenant that together they would open the treasure, and as instructed, he would watch over the vault and protect it, and she would watch over the treasure. She was not concerned that as guardian over the vault, he held two keys, for his full purpose was to see that she was safe as she watched over that which was most precious to them both. Together they opened the safe and partook of their inheritance. They rejoiced, for as promised, it replenished itself. With great joy, they found that they could pass the treasure on to their children. Each could receive a full measure, undiminished to the last generation. Perhaps some few of their posterity would not find a companion who possessed the complementary key, or one worthy and willing to keep the covenants relating to the treasure. Nevertheless, if they kept the commandments, and they would not be denied even the smallest blessing. Because some tempted them to misuse their treasure, they were careful to teach their children about keys and covenants. There came, in due time, among their posterity, some few who were deceived, or jealous, or selfish, because one was given two keys, and the other only one. Why, the selfish ones reasoned, cannot the treasure be mine alone to use as I desire? Some tried to reshape the key they had been given to resemble the other key. Perhaps they thought it would then fit both locks. And so it was that the safe was closed to them. Their reshaped keys were useless, and their inheritance was lost. Those who received the treasure with gratitude and obeyed the laws concerning it knew joy without bounds through time and all eternity. I don't know if that's the end. It might be, but I can't find the mouse again to scroll down. Oh, yeah. That is the end. I just thought of something that I'd never thought of before.
What's that?
With it. I think the treasure might, at least part of the treasure, might be children. That the couple are able to have together, because it says that he would watch over the vault, which could be the house or the home, and she, it was her responsibility to watch over the children,
yeah,
or the treasure.
That would make sense. Yeah, it says she wasn't concerned that he held two keys. Well,
yeah,
she held one because they were, you know, she was watching over.
And she knew that he was watching over her, and
yeah,
and you know, and she, I get the idea that she's probably watching over the treasure inside the vault.
Yeah.
Over there, home.
And I would guess, and, you know, I mean, obviously, Elder Packer doesn't make it clear what everything represents, but.
Uh-huh.
I would guess that the fact that he has two keys and she has one,
one of the keys is the priesthood. And I personally think that the other key, that each of them have one, but it's a different key, is the gender.
Yeah. And it said that it's noticeably different.
Yeah.
His key.
Yeah. And it, like, the other thing that makes me think the second, or the key that each of them have is gender, is this paragraph that where it says some tried to reshape the key,
yeah,
that had been given to resemble the other key, you know.
And then by trying to reshape it, they actually closed the safe to them entirely.
Yeah,
key didn't even work for what it used to.
Yeah, and they thought it would work for both, and they'd be able to have the treasure completely to themselves, but... See, and that also makes me think that the treasure is not completely children.
Yeah.
I think definitely a part of it is. And it did say, I think it had, at the very beginning when it was talking about the treasure, that it's actually treasures.
Huh. That would make sense, too, because obviously there's a lot of fruits of marriage.
Yeah, it says the second key was to a safe within the vault, which contained a priceless treasure. Then he was to open the safe and freely use the precious things which were stored therein. So, there's just one treasure, but many things that he was to use.
Interesting. There was a paragraph in there, a sentence that said something to the effect of those who couldn't find a partner or were somehow otherwise hampered from the treasure were not.
Yeah, you know, perhaps some few of their posterity would not find a companion who possessed the complementary key, or one worthy and willing to keep the covenants relating to the treasure. Nevertheless, if they kept the commandments, they would not be denied even the smallest blessing.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a big comfort to those who may not, you know, may not be able to find a companion in this life, someone to, someone to marry, that they, you know, if they continue living worthily and keeping the commandments, they eventually will have everything their married friends do.
Yeah. How that all plays out, we don't know exactly.
Yeah. We don't have to know.
They won't be denied any blessings. And I bet that also implies...
Chunker. Chunker.
All right, Tana. That's not even his real name. That's not his nickname or his real name. Toodles.
I keep calling him Chunk Boy on Facebook. I know I should stop calling him Chunk Boy sometime, because that will lead to him having a complex and thinking he's fat, but it's a cute nickname and it still fits him.
Oh, and it's like the name Toodles. I mean, didn't we just find out with Peter Pan, Toodles was the most unfortunate of the group or something. He's the humblest of the group.
He has the cutest
and good
smile, though.
Yeah, he does. But, says he always misses in the good adventure somehow.
Yeah.
Anyway.
By the way, if you haven't read the book, Peter Pan, do it. It's a good book. I'm reading Bambi, too, right now. If you haven't read Bambi, read Bambi. It's a good book.
I'm reading a book that I think is supposed to be a prequel to Peter Pan or something.
Really?
Cool. Peter and some other orphans are... I know. Peter and some other orphans are going on some ship called the Neverland.
Oh, interesting.
And there's little things coming together. You're like, okay, I think I see where this is going.
Yeah, hold on. Let me see if I can get it.
Okay. Do you want to pause that? Water and stuff.
Whoa, what just happened here? Oh, never mind. I lost.
So, back to the talk. Or the parable.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that parable because I think it holds a lot of principles that, you know, would take a lot longer to explain out.
Yeah. I think that's one benefit of teaching in parables is that, you know, you can, you know, tell someone something.
Fit a lot in a small.
Yeah, in a small space. I mean, this isn't even one page, this parable, but, you know, I mean, we could give you pages and pages of commentary on it.
I was going to say, too, about the same-gender attraction thing. It was, the church gets a lot of flack for, you know, saying, you know, that... While same gender attraction is not a sin, acting on it is, and so forth. And I remember a few years ago when Elder Packer gave a talk and basically said that homosexual activity is wrong. Just came out and said it really straightforward. I don't remember exact words he used. And people got after him for that. They were upset. Not members of the church, well, not faithful, active members of the church, I should say, but some of the media did, and stuff like that. But yeah, I think it's interesting, too, that it says, basically, that they could only have the treasure together. There was no way for either one of them to have the treasure.
Kind of along the line with same gender or attraction or homosexuality, that that their keys are different, and you know, so two guys that love each other can't have the treasure because their keys don't work together to open the safe. It has to be a male and a female.
There's just no other way around it.
And like it says in the parable, two guys that love each other can't have one of the guys reshape their key to look more like a girl key.
Yeah.
And have it work.
Just ruin the key entirely.
Yeah. What is that, Mom? What is what?
It's a sign. Should I run over the slow sign lady?
That wouldn't be very nice.
Yeah. Wow. So that's pretty much all we got for this yeah. podcast. Although
it's a short one.
We didn't.
Oh yeah, we
mention
didn't do
the
our
trivia yet.
Trivia.
The question was, how did Achish, was it?
No. Yeah, Sons of Achish.
Sons of Achish. How did they get the people to
be on their side, basically?
Yeah.
And the answer is they offered them money. They bribed them.
Bribed them. I think that was the scripture that said something like, he was desirous of power just as they were desirous of gain or something like that. And so, when you have groups like that, it's just trouble. That's
yeah.
You know? People just can't be motivated primarily by money. You know, it's a small motivation. It should be a very minor motivation. You know? If your motivation is simply to support your family or to you know, have a home and so forth, then money isn't your motive. But anyway.
Yeah. And so you don't have internet access here, so we can't check our email or comments.
We'll check it and comment next week on it.
If there we get any.
What should we do for
Oh yeah, about this too. You guys, totally, go read the talk and the parable and give us your interpretation of it, or, you know, or your thoughts on it.
Yeah, because obviously,
you know, obviously we're still a little bit clueless about it. I mean, yeah, we have a lot of ideas about it, but, you know, help us out. You know, working together, we can learn a lot.
Yeah. What should we do for trivia for this week?
Traffic, and it's not even cheap.
Okay, we'll pause a second while we look up a trivia.
Okay, we're back, and we have our trivia question ready. Do you want to do it, since you haven't had much opportunity to talk?
Sure. It's after Christ was resurrected, or, you know, in the New Testament, he comes back and visits the Mary and the apostles and so forth. It's been 3 days since his birth. How long, on and off, was he with them? How long was he with them before his ascension?
Yeah. So, let us know in the comments.
Yes.
Or email us.
Or email.
At popcornandpodcasting@gmail.com.
Yep.
And Toodles will tell you bye. Say bye, Toodles. Okay, now you're quiet.
The whole time.
Okay.
Well, thanks for listening.
See ya.